Good to see you on this Memorial Day weekend. You know, Matt, as you were singing that, great song to move into the message right now, wherever you are, backstage. What a great message. You know, it's a lot easier to sing that song than to actually live that out, isn't it? You're all to us. What you're going to listen, hopefully through the Word of God and through me preaching, you're going to learn what that's all about. To actually be able to say, you're all to us, Jesus. So thank you, Matt, for preparing worship that way. It is Memorial Day weekend. I do want to recognize, this is a special weekend. It's a special weekend anytime we can gather together and worship our Lord and Savior. But it is Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but, if you have ever been or are in the armed service, if you could stand up, please. Okay. Now, being in the armed services, I know how much you hate the fact that I just did that. So thank you for your humility and thank you for serving the country we have such great freedoms in that God has given us. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for your faithfulness and your steadfast love." You know, this morning we're going to be reading and continuing in our series in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And we're going to be talking about influence and the influences that people have on us. And so, as I read this passage of Scripture in John 8, I want you to think about the influence that Jesus has on you or doesn't have on you, as the Jewish leaders are going to soon find out. In John chapter 8, starting in verse 39, I'm going to cover a large passage of Scriptures, but I'm hoping I can summarize it all for you, and we can get something from the Lord this morning. So follow along with me as we begin in John chapter 8, starting in verse 39. If you have your bulletins, follow along. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now, you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, what I've heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." And they said to him, "We're not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my words. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar, the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you do not know God." The Jews answered him, "Are we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets died? Why do you make yourself, who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is of my Father who glorifies me, and whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be like a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Like I said, it's a long passage, but let me summarize it. But before I do that, let me ask God's blessing on the rest of the time. Father, thank you for this time and thank you for your words. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through me and that the words that I say would be changed and that you would magnify them and illuminate them so that you would do your purpose and your will through your word. God, speak for me so that you might get all the glory. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Influence. The definition for influence is this, and I'm going to have Chris keep it up for a little while. But the definition for influence is this. Now, think of this, okay? Influence, the capacity to have an effect on character, development, or behavior of someone, or something, or the effect itself. So who has the capacity to influence you this morning? You know, who influences you? Is it your mom? Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's a friend or a coworker, a boss. Who influences you? Maybe it's a famous preacher or a theologian you like. How do you know that they are influencing you? Well, ultimately, how you act, what you do, the reactions to the things you do is ultimately a byproduct of the influence you've had or who's influencing you. You act like them. You talk like them. You do the things that they do. That's why they're an influence on you. You know, this morning in this passage, Jesus gives the Jewish leaders, you know, a real challenge on who really is influencing them. You know, these were religious people. No different in the day we live in right now, where we say we are followers of God. We say we are followers of Jesus Christ. But we don't show we have the influence of Jesus. See, the Jews, the Jewish leaders, I should say, they were influenced by someone. But it's not who they thought. You know, and that's ultimately like us, isn't it? You know, we might think we're being influenced by someone, but really our actions show who we're really being influenced by. And that's what Jesus is telling these Jews. To understand the context, I just want to back up just for a second. Last week we talked about the message, Truth Be Told. And Jesus was telling these Jewish leaders, you say, in verse 30 of John chapter 8, you say you believe in me? Abide in me. Remember Jesus' straight talk? Abide in me. Do what I say. Abide means to continue, I said last week. Continue in my words. See, the Jewish leaders couldn't continue in God's words because they weren't of God. And so God is making a direct line to who really believes in him. And the first thing was that they abide in him. They do what he says. They obey. And then the second thing with these Jewish leaders is they have to understand why Jesus came. He came because we got a sin problem. See, a lot of people believe in Jesus for any number of reasons. Because he's going to give them a new house. a better life, but not the real reason why Jesus came, to die for your sins, my sins. A real follower of Christ abides in the truth, abides in Jesus, and knows why Jesus came. When you ask somebody, if you were to die today and stand before God, why would I let you into heaven? God would ask. And you'll know very quickly if someone really believes. Are they given a litany of all the things they've done? Or are they acknowledging what the Son did for them? That's what a real believer is. And so as we continue in this section of Scripture, all Jesus is doing is he's reinforcing the fact that they really aren't believers in Christ. They are really not followers of God. And so are some of us when we acknowledge we believe in God, but God really isn't in us. How do you know you're a child of God? You know, in John chapter 1, it's very clear. Jesus says, to those who receive me, they are given the right to become children of God. Not by blood, not by the flesh, not by the will of man, but by God. You are given the right to become a child of God. So Jesus is explaining to them who really influences them. And as you look at that definition for influence, the capacity to help them, to influence them, to give them character, development, behavior. Who's influencing you? And so this morning, I want to talk about your spiritual influence on really whether it is Jesus or not. So how do you know? How do you know if you're being influenced by the devil? Now, I'm guessing some of you out here would say, I'm not being influenced by the devil. I'm always influenced by God. Well, let's just see, okay? Through these scriptures, I see five things that Jesus points out. Five things that Jesus points out that would be a very good indicator that you are being influenced spiritually by the devil. Okay? Number one, in verse 39 and 41a, listen to these again. Jesus said, or they answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if Abraham's children, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. That is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father. Okay, so the first one, an influence of the devil. Here's the first thing. Are you ready? You are all talk and no walk. You like to tell people how much God influences you. You like to tell people how often you go to church. You like to tell people all the good things that you do. But you're all talk and no walk. Would that be your influence? See, Jesus knew that Abraham believed. And that the indication of the fact that he believed was he did. He had faith. He walked in faith. Paul said it in Romans chapter 4. He said this, follow along with me. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. But not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham walked by faith. The same faith that we have to have. And you're saying, well, Abraham didn't know Jesus. He knew that God needed to save him. He didn't know Jesus' name. But he knew that God had to send a Messiah to save him. He walked by faith. Are you? When you go about your day at work, when you go about your day with your family, your husband, your wife, or you're by yourself, are you all talk and no walk? Abraham led his son up Isaac by faith because God told him to. What is God telling you to do? God is saying, you want your influence to be me? Let your talk be your walk. Don't talk a good game. Live out who you believe in. Who's your influence this morning? If your influence is the devil, you're a lot of talk and no walk. Number two, the last part of 41, it says this. And they said to him, I mean, listen to this. This makes me want to puke. We were not born out of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God. You ready for number two, that you're being influenced by the devil? You hurt people with your words. Understand the context of what they're saying here. There was no doubt, there was a rumor going on that Jesus' mother, Mary, bore him out of wedlock. That she had sexual relations with some other man other than Joseph, and that he was born out of sexual immorality. So what they were doing was kind of kneeing. They were punching Jesus in the side, like we like to do, don't we? Oh, we call it sarcasm. I forgot. That's right. Little bit of truth in sarcasm, isn't there? You want to know you're being influenced by the devil? Is your words are aiming to hurt people. Ephesians 4:29 says this. This is what our words should be like. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such that is good for building up, that fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Who's your influence this morning? The Jewish leaders' aim was to hurt people with their words. What comes out of your mouth? Is it edifying? Is it giving grace to the hearer? Or you just want to jab people? I hate that one. Because I am like the sarcasm king. I hate it. I wish we could skip that one. But you know, I know who my influence is when I start acting like that. Maybe some of you guys can relate. Number three, look at verse 43. The third influence, or you could tell that you're being influenced by the devil. Verse 43 says this, why do you not understand what I say? Jesus says this, it is because you cannot bear my words. The third thing that you know you're being influenced by the devil is the word of God has no impact in your life whatsoever. Oftentimes I'll talk to people and they're struggling. And I say struggle very loosely. You know, struggle means that you're actually fighting something. When oftentimes I just want to say you succumb to the sin. I mean, let's call it what it is. When I was doing drugs, when I was getting drunk, I succumbed to it. I wasn't struggling with coke. I wasn't struggling with drinking. I succumbed to it. So let's just acknowledge what it is, okay? But when the words of Christ changed my life, when I began to flip through these pages and read through these pages, it had an impact in my life. It caused me to change. I didn't clean myself up. I wish I could take credit for that. The words of Christ cleaned me up. Jesus Christ saved me and cleaned me up. Not perfectly. I still sin. But I'm no longer a slave to some of the things that I was easily ensnared in. When you read this word, does it have any impact in your life? Do you struggle to even pick this up and read it in the morning? I mean, ask yourself, who do you want to influence you when you wake up in the morning? I love the old prayer. It starts out like this. Lord, I haven't lusted this morning. I haven't done I haven't coveted my neighbor's stuff yet. Lord, I haven't said a bad thing. But pretty soon I'm going to get out of bed. And then the war begins. You better be picking this up to make sure that the right influences are speaking to you in the morning. Because if you don't allow God's word to impact your life, then the world will sure pick up the slack. And it'll lead you to some places you don't want to go. And you'll be influenced by the person you don't want to be influenced by. The next thing, verse 44 says this, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because the truth is not in him." You want to know why or how you're being influenced by the devil? You don't tell the truth. You have a real hard problem just telling someone the truth. You think you got to butter it up a little bit because the truth is just a little bit too hard for them to hear. No. If you're impacted by this and you tell the truth, let God take care of it. If you have to continually tell people lies to make them feel better, you are not being influenced by the words of Christ. You are being influenced by the devil. See, the Jewish leaders knew all the stuff. They were very religious. They were the deacons and the elders of the church. But they didn't have it in here. And Jesus wanted to tell them, your influence is the devil. They wanted nothing to do with it. You know how you're being influenced by the devil? You don't tell the truth. You won't tell the truth. Is that you this morning? And the last one, found in verse 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. You want to know how you're being influenced by the devil? Or how I know that your influence is of the devil? The fifth one, you're not a follower of Christ. Now the Jews thought they knew God. The Jews memorized Scripture, the Torah. They would have known the first five books. They would have known it all. They did not know Christ. And so their influence is the one of the devil. And though a follower of Christ can be influenced by the devil, a follower of Christ cannot be condemned by their sins. Romans 8:1 says, I can't believe I just drew a blank on Romans 8:1. That's my favorite verse. Of course it's my favorite verse. Therefore there is no, thank you. Yeah, you know it. There is therefore, what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ. Praise the Lord. But if you do not know Christ, your influence is of the devil, and you have no victory over sin. None. And so you're only being influenced by the one whom is your father, which is the devil. So that's how you know. Well, and you might be asking, well, that wouldn't be anybody in this church because they all believe in Jesus. Because they're in church, right? Well, follow along with me real quick to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. This should scare you, those of you who think that somehow you're going to heaven because you're right here today. You ready? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy? That's the word for preaching. That's the word for telling people about Jesus. There are people in this room that are telling people about Jesus and they don't even know him. How scary is that? Did we not prophesy in your name? cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's a scary verse. If you're not a follower of Christ this morning, what's stopping you? Oh yeah, that one pride thing. The same pride the Jewish leaders had. Thinking they had it all figured out. When the Son of God, here they are. Listen, I mean, think about this. They're telling God how to become a child of God. They're telling God how to become a child of God. And you're sitting there going, how foolish. These people are so foolish. Oh, really? How are you telling God how you're getting to heaven? Are you telling God you're getting to heaven because you're good? Are you telling God you're going to heaven for any number of reasons other than by the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, then we're no different than the influence that these Jewish leaders had with the devil. Okay, so I only got three things for you. If you know, or that you know that your influence or your influence needs to be Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying, follow me. Let me change you. Let me be your influence. Let me be the one who walks by you. Let me be the one who talks to you. Let me be the one who walks by your day as you go to work, as you drive in your car. Let me influence you. Here's how it happens. Here's how you know you have the influence of Jesus Christ this morning. You ready? Verse 42, we're going back. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. You want to know if you have an influence of Jesus Christ? You love people. You love people. All people. The former drug dealing, fake ID making people. You love people. And you know your influence is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 says this, and we know this if you've been married, but listen to how God describes love. And you need to understand this. You ready? If you try and do these things and you don't know Christ, it's filthy rags to the Lord. The only possibility you know how to love is if Christ is in you. That's what 1 John 4 says. You want to know what God is? You want to know love? Know God. And know that Jesus died for you. Then you know what love is. So that, just preface that. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. It's not rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Are you loving? Can I tell you that unless Christ is influencing you, it's impossible. It's impossible to love the unlovely. Only Christ can do that. And Christ in you. If Christ is in you, would you let him influence you by loving someone? Loving the unlovely. The second one. You want to know if your influence is Jesus Christ? Verse 50 and 54. You are humble. Listen to verse 50. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. In verse 54, Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. How do you know if you're humble? Oh, you just tell people you're humble? Okay, that works. No. How do you know if you're humble and being influenced by God? You ready? You serve. You serve. Does somebody have to tell you to serve? Are you doing it for the wrong reasons? You know, I love our core group of people in this church. You know, this church started with 20 people, 20 faithful core group members. I can make them all raise their hand, but I won't. A bunch of them are gone because they're on vacation. Influencing the devil. But I tell you, you want an example of servants? Humbly serving? I could make those core group members raise their hand. Faithfully serving. Since day one, when we were at my house, to a few days later at Holiday Inn Express, to coming here. Now, how do you know if you're humble? Continue to serve. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for any glory, but you're doing it for God. Colossians says, work heartily unto the Lord, not for man. For your reward is in heaven. You know, oftentimes, we can start to lose that desire to serve, the desire to do things that God wants us to do. Ultimately, it comes down to is we've lost our focus. We've lost the influence of Jesus Christ. Jesus was humble. Philippians 2:8 says this, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You want to look at the example of humility? You don't look to the core group members, though they can be an example. You look to what Jesus did on the cross. He did not sin, yet bore the wrath of God for us. That is humble. Are you humble this morning? Are you a servant like Jesus? If you are, your influence is Jesus. The last one, I promise. Verses 40 and 55. Verse 40 says this, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God in verse 55. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say to you, If I were to say to you that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I know him and I keep his word. You want to know if your influence is Jesus Christ? You ready? You tell the truth. Whereas your influence with Satan is that you don't tell the truth, your influence with Christ is you tell the truth. You tell the truth. You know, that was the theme of this whole chapter in chapter 8. He wanted the Jewish leaders to know the truth. Straight talk, remember? Straight talk. Jesus didn't mess around. And neither should we. We have to tell the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want your influence to be Jesus Christ? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Most importantly, tell the truth about the gospel. Don't add a bunch of stuff to the gospel. It doesn't need anything added. You start adding, then Galatians 2:21 comes in. For if righteousness can be gained by the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Do you want your presentation of the gospel to be of no effect? Well, then add stuff to the gospel. The gospel is this. You ready? It changes you not only for salvation, but it changes you for sanctification. The gospel is this. Jesus came and died for sinners. And rose on the third day and removed the wrath and the penalty of sin. That's good news. And that's the truth that you have to speak to yourself every morning. And when you do that, your influence becomes Jesus Christ. So, who's your influence this morning spiritually? Now here, I'm here to tell you, I'm influenced by Satan sometimes. I am. I know it. But And I confess before God, help me, Lord. Help me, you to be my influence. If it's not Jesus, why? Why aren't you repenting? You know, Peter said it, I thought he said it the greatest. You know, when all the people started to back away in John chapter 6, they were like, you know what, Jesus? What you're saying is way too hard. We can't follow what you're saying, Jesus. It's way too hard. And these people, these false believers, started to walk away. Remember? Remember the scene? They started to walk away. Jesus' words are too hard. Remember what Jesus says to Peter? He says, what about you, Peter? What are you going to do? John 6, 68 and 69, he says, where else can I go? Where else can I go? You have the words of eternal life. And I have come to believe that you are the Son of God, the Christ. Peter wanted his influence to be Jesus Christ. Where else could he go? Where else can you go? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your plan of redemption. Thank you for your plan of reconciliation. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for all our sins. Lord, help your church, High Point. Help the followers of Christ in this church to be influenced by Jesus Christ. So that when we step out of this place, the mission field starts. We step out of this place, the mission field starts because we're influenced by the one we are singing praises to and wanting to be changed by. Gracious Father, help us. Help us so that you might receive all the glory and that you might be our influence as we walk through this world. It's for your name I pray. It's for your name, Jesus. Amen. Please stand as Matt closes us.